we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. You're listening to a happy, happy pastor right now. My daughter will be returning from her missions trip tomorrow, and so we are very excited, not only that she is coming back, but we are excited to hear about what God has done through her and for her as she has traveled down to Belize. And we are just so excited. A couple of weeks ago, somebody told me something about one of my kids and how they represented Jesus well. I'll put it in those terms, and I can pass that on to my wife, and it made her so happy that she was crying, and to know that all of our children love the Lord and worship Him, it makes this preacher very, very happy. And you know, when you go on a mission trip, if you've never gone on one, let me encourage you, go on one. Don't go on one to just take a vacation. Go on one to serve. Don't go there thinking that you have the solution to all of the world's problems. You have Jesus, and you need to communicate that. But don't go looking down on those people. Go loving them. And I tell you what it will do. That missions trip will change you more than it will change the culture that you went to. You see, I believe that that's one of the greatest privileges that we have. If you get to go and you get to minister and you see the conditions that people around the world are living in, and yet they're still worshiping Jesus, it'll make you appreciate America a lot more. I remember when I first got back from my first missions trip, my wife was so convinced that I was going to die on that missions trip, and I almost did, that she said, well, at least, and we didn't have much money. I mean, we weren't going because I had thousands of dollars in the bank. We went on that first missions trip, and I was like, you know, I could have done other things with the money. And, you know, her mindset was, well, at least I just had my nice dress cleaned if something bad happens to him. And literally it did. We almost died there. I went on another missions trip, and I had to make a financial choice between what God was calling me to do or what, you know, something I wanted to do for one of my kids. And God, in His mercy, made both a reality. He funded both of them. Again, it was a very dangerous place. But when I first came back from that first missions trip and I came back to America, I literally got down on my hands and knees, and I kissed the pavement. I did. I was so thankful to be back in America, where we had the freedom. That was 1998, and I've never forgotten it. Thank God for the freedoms that we do have here in America. But so we're excited. If you've not been on a missions trip, go on one, and let God transform your heart. It will make you a very thankful people, and it will make you have a greater longing to serve. I still have a desire to go on a missions trip to Fiji primarily. I receive invitations, but my face and my voice have been to Fiji, but I haven't been there yet myself. But I look forward to being able to go, not because it's a South Pacific paradise, but because God has given us favor there, and I would like to go and preach the gospel there and see the kingdom of God enlarged. So anyway, make plans. If you can't go this year, see how quickly you can make that a reality. It'll be a blessing to you, and it'll be a blessing to your church. Let's get into the word today. I want to invite you out to our services this week. Sunday school at 9:30, worship service at 10:30. Our kids, our older grade school kids, they're going to be going to camp next week, and so they're going to be having a great time. Lots of exciting things going on at Merit Assembly right now. We do have our men's meeting, our men's breakfast tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and we're going to have a great time there as well. So let's get back into Isaiah, the 26th chapter. Start reading at verse number 9 again. It says, "With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let grace be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness he will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when your hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they will see and be ashamed for their envy of people. Yes, the fire of your enemies shall devour them." This is one of the most exciting passages that in this chapter that I was wanting to get to. There's still several others, but we concluded yesterday's broadcast talking about desiring God in the night and seeking him early in the morning, and there is a reason for that. God never asks us to do something without there being a reason. What happens when we desire him? What happens when that desire morphs into action to where we are actually seeking him, not just what he can do? It says, the reality is this, "For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." It says, God, the reason we are seeking you is because when your judgment, when you come and you pronounce your judgments, when you bring justice, when you restore society the way that it is, when your mercy has transformed people, and when you come, you establish a civilization like no other. You come and there is a transformation in people's lives. Listen to what it says. "For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." And so, God, I know this is going to sound very unpopular in some circles, but God is judge. He is there's a title that is given to him. It kind of varies a couple of times in a different, it says, "Will the judge of all the earth not do right?" He is the judge of all the earth. There's another place where he's referred to as the judge of the spirits of all mankind. In other words, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every child, every adult, every king, every politician, every businessman, every pauper, everyone who lives in a mansion, and everyone who's ever homeless, every one of them are going to have to give an account to God. In the book of Revelation, you will find that there is this. It's referred to as the great white throne of judgment. The great white throne of judgment. In the Pauline epistles, the epistles written by Paul, you are going to find the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Christ, where Christians will be judged we will be judged according to our actions, and there will be a reward that is given out for our actions that were done in faith, our actions that were done in love, our actions that were done for the glory of God. Those will receive reward. The rest of it, poof. It will be judged by fire, and up in smoke it'll go, and it will be lost, but we will be saved. The great white throne judgment is a judgment place for those who have not known God. And so there is a day of judgment that is coming. There is a day of accountability. If you have done something wrong and you haven't been caught yet, I encourage you, repent, give your heart to Jesus, get that under the blood. There's a scripture that that is very sobering to me. It says that we will have to give an account for every idle word that we have spoken. Every word that's not of faith, every word that's not of power, every word that is ungodly, every word that is undermining instead of edifying, every word that is demeaning instead of building one another up. We have to give an account for that. As you listen to this broadcast, you probably listen with a ear of scrutiny. You probably like some of the things that I say and probably scratch your head on some of the other things that I say. But I want to ask you, are you ready to give an account for every word that you speak? It's very, I tell you what, that scripture, when I read that scripture, if nothing else brings you to the place of repentance, that one should. It's almost a couple of weeks ago now, we had some missionaries that came in, and I had taken them out to a restaurant, and there were some young people that came out of the restaurant, and you know, just kids, late teens, maybe early 20s, but I'm thinking late teens. I mean, they looked like they had at least reached the age where they knew how to wipe their nose. I'm just kidding. They weren't very old, and they walked by us, and the words that were coming out of their mouth over stupid stuff, it was like, oh my goodness. And to be honest with you, this was coming out of a young lady's mouth, and I think, as a pastor, my heart is saying, oh, you were created to speak so much more beautiful things than that. You weren't created by God to speak such words of hostility and use such profanity. That wasn't what God created you for. You were created for a much different reason. And so here it says, God, when your judgments are in the earth. And so yesterday's broadcast, I invited you to seek God and for our churches to be seeking God and be crying out for him. Because if there's one thing that the scripture gives evidence of, is that at some point in time, God says, the most merciful thing that I can do for you at this point in time as a civilization is to bring you to a place of judgment that will cause you to see and to know that I am the Lord. And if we will not learn from others' mistakes, if we will not learn from mercy, then we will learn some other way. But God is very intent on us learning. If you've listened to me, if you've known me through the years, you would know that one of my primary giftings is the gift of mercy. I believe in people and giving people second chances. I've given people third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances, sixth chances. I have just given mercy and mercy and mercy. And several years ago, I'm going back 15 years probably, 16 years, 17 years. We had a Sunday school teacher, and he said, there is a time where the most merciful thing that you can do is have mercy get out of the way and have exhortation come in so that exhortation can teach the person how to not stay in the pit. And you know, while I learned the statement, it was a much longer period of time. It was probably another decade or so down the road, and God interrupted one of my prayer times where I was praying over a situation, and he challenged me, and he said, "If wisdom is proved right by all of her actions, what does the results say about your tendency of showing mercy after mercy after mercy after mercy? What does it say about this situation?" And I said, "God, if your wisdom is always right, it always accomplishes its task, then at this point in time, it is foolish for me to continue down this path." And God spoke to me and he said, "This is what I want you to do with this situation." And at first, the reaction to that was not pretty. It was not well received. But a few weeks went by, and all of a sudden, God had changed some hearts and lives, and people's lives were transformed. And I will be honest with you, I've had that situation a couple of times where I finally got to the end of the mercy situation and said, "Okay, God, how do you want to handle this situation?" And people responded to exhortation better than they did to mercy. And I will be honest with you, it's always made me scratch my head, because I like for people showing me mercy, because I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I call people by the wrong name. My wife one time, you know, before we moved to Florida, so we had, there was me, there was my wife, there was our son, and we had a dog, and she called me the dog's name. She didn't call me what some people call dogs in a vernacular. She was trying to call me, and the dog's name was nowhere near what my name was, and it was a girl, and I'm a guy, and I was like, "Seriously, you called me the dog's name?" And then we ended up with three kids, and all of their names begin with the same letter, and I tell you, every one of those kids have been called the other one. I've been called my brother, my sister, by my mom and dad. Just been called all sorts of things. I know what it is like to make mistakes. And so I like to show mercy because I like to receive it. But there's a time where God's going to say, "You've had 2,000 plus years to accept my offer of forgiveness. And I'm going to come, and I'm going to impact society." Now, I want you to understand that when God comes and he brings judgment, I need you to understand that this is, you say, this doesn't sound very refreshing. Actually, it's extremely refreshing. When God comes and his judgment comes, and God's people are desiring him intentionally, and when they're seeking him with their spirit, they're worshiping in spirit and in truth. Listen to what it says. "The inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." Do you realize that righteousness is a learned behavior? All of us are sinners that have been saved by grace. All of us were inhabitants of darkness, and we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have been summoned out. There has been a divine decree that released us from the bondage of darkness, and now we are children of the light. We walk in the light. And so that's a tremendous privilege that we have. But once we got into the light, we have to allow God to educate us in what a righteous lifestyle looks like. Do you realize that God had much less challenge delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt than he did getting Egypt out of the kids? Out of the children of Israel? Getting them out of Egypt was simple. All it was ten plagues, and opening up the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army being overwhelmed by the flood of waters that destroyed them. That was the easy part. That not only changed the Egyptian attitude towards them, but also it instilled in them a reverential awe of God that had reached the promised land. The people in the promised land for 40 years were wondering, when are the children of Israel getting here? Because we know what God has told them, and we are just waiting for that reality to become to come to our geographic region. We're just waiting for them to take dominion over this place. The problem was that it took 40 years of wandering around the same mountain before God got the Egypt, the bondage of Egypt, out of them. They romanticized their bondage as they were wandering around in the wilderness, murmuring and complaining about Moses. They were romanticizing. We had all of the garlics and leeks and onions and cucumbers and all of this food. We could eat as much as we want. And they forgot all about the taskmaster's whip. And they forgot about the having to make bricks. And they forgot about the fact that they were slaves in Egypt. They forgot that you do what your slave master tells you and not what you necessarily. They forgot all of that. And so rather than wandering around in the wilderness and thinking of themselves as people of covenant with an omnipotent God on their side, they wandered around thinking of themselves as victims for 40 years. The daughters of Zarephath, no, that's not the right one. Oh, my goodness. I'll turn back there. There were seven ladies that, and the name starts with a Z. I'm pretty sure, but they were saying, "Hey, we have an inheritance." I'm almost there. I'll tell you what their names were here in just a second. They said, "Look, our dad, he died in the wilderness for his Zelophehad. They came in and they said, look, we should get our father's inheritance." There were seven daughters, and they said, "Our father didn't take part in the rebellion. He died in the wilderness because of his own sin." Today, you and I, let's not make excuses for our sin. This is a Friday. How about a whole new horizon? How about this weekend, saying, "God, you have a whole new future for me. Would you teach me righteousness? God, rather than me trying to fit you into a corner, why don't you take dominion? Why don't you sit up on the throne, God? And I'm going to listen to your decrees. I'm going to ask you to teach me your ways. I'm going to ask you to show me your glory. I'm going to ask you to teach me righteousness. Teach me to pray." Let me ask you, there's a lot of things that the scripture says that we are supposed to learn, that God wants to teach us. So let me ask you, have you been to class? Have you gone to your pastor and said, "You know, the Bible says that I'm supposed to learn this. Could you help teach me these things? Could you teach me what the Bible says about money? Could you, I've got some friends that are missionaries, and they found when they got to the mission field that people were mistreating their spouses, and it was even taking place inside the church. And they said, "Well, that's our culture." And they said, "Well, you need to understand what the Word of God says about how you are supposed to treat your spouse." So what if when we sought God, we said, "God, would you come in and would you set yourself up as judge of every area of my life?" I think it was last week I mentioned to you about praying the word over your wife and, you know, praying the word over your kids. And now I can pray the word over my grandkids. And, you know, I know what it's like to fast and pray for my kids. To get a job and to get promotions and to stay safe. I know what that is like. What if we said, you know what? When God came on the scene, all of a sudden I realized that I wasn't living the way that I want. Listen, let me send you out with just this this last little truth. It's a very prominent, very important passage here in Isaiah, the 26th chapter. It contrasts what happens when God shows judgment with what happens when grace is shown. I want you to know that grace is not enough. It says in verse number 10, let grace be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. We live in the age of grace. The spirit of grace and the spirit of truth came by Jesus Christ. We are very thankful for that. It is by grace that we are saved, but that is not the end of the road. It is the beginning of the road. It means that we have just enrolled in the school of the Spirit. It means that we have said, God, you be my rabbi. You be my master. You be my teacher. Teach me righteousness. Life as a child of God looks entirely different than the life of a person who is still in the bondage of darkness. And I want to encourage you, if you have just been doing life the same way you've always done life, and you're not living a life of distinction, you can change that today. And it is very simply this. It is the lifestyle of righteousness. The just shall live by faith. We serve a righteous God who wants a righteous people. And I just encourage you today that let this be the last day that we stay ignorant about the righteousness of God. It's not an easy lesson. It's not a quick lesson. Paul was talking and to one of the Roman magistrates, and it said that they talked often, and he talked about righteousness and self-control and the kingdom to come. And it terrified that ruler so much that he would send him away and wait for him for a more comfortable time, a more pleasing time. Righteousness, folks, it should be indicative of each and every one of us because we serve a righteous God. Father, today, Lord, I'm thankful for the grace that you have shown to us. It's not the problem. It wasn't a grace problem. It was the condition of people's hearts, Lord. They embraced wickedness instead of embracing righteousness. God, today, would you teach us your righteousness? Teach us what is right in your eyes instead of our eyes. Teach us what represents the lifestyle of a redeemed and holy people. And may we walk in your truth. In Jesus' name, you have a great weekend. Hopefully, we'll see you soon at Merit Assembly of God. If not, we will see you here Monday, right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. Everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on and on?
my one thing, and the purest.